What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Spark Talk. Today, we will be getting into the opening day game between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. And then also, we will be getting into the week one predictions for the rest of the games for week one. But let's get into this recap here for the Lions versus the Chiefs, the opening day game. And for me, like, I predicted this game when I did the preview last night, I predicted that the Lions would win, and kind of what happened and how they were able to win was kind of, I guess, my thinking of, like, if they're going to win this game, they're going to need Travis Kelce not to play. Travis Kelce did not play in this game. And they need to establish the run game and play and have their passing game be majority of it coming from the play action and coming off the run game. And that's what kind of happened for Detroit. A lot of their big plays in the passing game were from play action. And that's kind of how their team is built. And they just matched up very well with Kansas City tonight. And for the Lions, they ran the ball 34 times, and they got 3.4 yards a carry, which, you know, isn't, or 3.5 yards a carry, which is, it's okay. It's not terrible, but it's also not good either, because on the preview, mentioned, like, for me, the baseline's always 4 yards per carry. That's my baseline, is 4 yards per carry. It, I think, determines a good rushing team versus, and if you're four and above, that's a good rushing team. If you're four and below, or if you're below four, I would consider you a below average bad rushing team. And for them to be 3.5, I don't think really is indicative on how they ran the football today, because a lot of it was just them, I think, really kind of just trying to set the tone, kind of chewing clock, trying to control the pace and the flow of the game, and they kind of did that throughout this game. Dave Montgomery had a very solid game. Jahmyr Gibbs, I thought, had a solid game. He had a little bit of a slip-up. He could have had a touchdown, and he just kind of slipped and fell, but they ended up getting the touchdown anyway on that drive. And for me, I just think it was a, you know, what they did offensively is what they needed to do to win this game. And they allowed Jared Goff to get into rhythm. Goff wasn't perfect by any means, but he did just enough to get them the win. He got the ball to his receivers and let his receivers make plays, like the Amon-Ra St. Brown touchdown. Just a little drag route. He goes over. Jared Goff dumps off to him. And, you know, they're close to the goal line, but he doesn't need much space. He runs it in there. The Josh Reynolds play at the end of the game, you know, a little bit of play action, a comeback, an inside comeback route. Josh Reynolds catches it and then turns upfield. Just stuff like that. A lot of it was play action, getting, like, bootlegs, getting Sam Laporta out, dumping it off to him, stuff like that. The Lions just utilizing that play action and utilizing, from them, like, establishing the run game early on and then playing off of that, I just think was, like I mentioned before, just something they needed to do, but also it's what they needed to do to win this game, because if you get into a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs, that's not going to bode well for you. So you need to, you know, kind of control the pace, slow it down a little bit, and that's what they were able to do. And also, I just want to give credit to the Lions wide receivers, and especially Josh Reynolds. I'm a Josh Reynolds guy. I really thought he was a very solid player with the Los Angeles Rams when he played for them. And, you know, coming here, he's a good number three guy. I still think the Lions need a number two behind St. Brown, but I do think they have a solid receiving core. I think Sam Laporta, you know, solid tight end. I still think he needs to get better blocking, but Khalif Raymond, really speedy guy that they could definitely utilize. But they did a really, with what they have in the receiving core, the receivers did a very good job. Josh Reynolds got, 4 catches, 80 yards. St. Brown, 6 catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown. So they did their part. They won that battle. And they kind of made the difference in the game. If Josh Reynolds doesn't get that separation on that comeback route, Lions probably lose the game. Amon-Ra St. Brown does make a couple plays here and there. They don't lose the game. So just stuff like that throughout the game. And then the Chiefs, going to them, I think their biggest issue, it's kind of obvious, it's the receiving core. They don't have Travis Kelce. Kadarius Toney's dropping crucial passes late in the game. And then you had Pat Mahomes doing a little twirl, like two or three twirls, and then throws it up on 4th and 20, hits Sky Moore in the hands, and he just drops it. Just stuff like that. Like, this is why the Patriots always went out and they got veteran guys for Tom Brady that they knew would come up in those big moments. The Chiefs have a lot of young guys. Kadarius Toney, very young. Sky Moore, very young. Their most veteran receiver on their team is Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and he's known for kind of just being the number two, number three guy for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay from, like, what, 2017 to 2020, 2021. So just, like, stuff like that. Like, their receiving core just isn't there yet. Like, these guys still need to develop. I think Chris Collinsworth said it, or I think it was, Mike Tirico, but the variety of receiver on the Chiefs too, they have so many that are the same style of player. Sky Moore, deep threat. Kadarius Toney is a deep threat. A little bit of a playmaker in there, but like he hasn't really proven that. He's a deep threat with his speed. Rashee Rice, deep threat. The only ones that like Marquez or MB or MVS, MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, deep threat. The only one really in there that's a little bit different is Richie James Jr. Like everybody else is kind of just stuck together and very similar on their skill set. And I think that hurts a lot because then teams are can scheme easily against those guys. And I think it hurts the Chiefs a little bit. And it's just one of those things. Like they just missed Travis Kelce today. Not having Travis Kelce allowed the Lions to really, not have to just focus on one player. They're able to kind of focus on the offense as a whole and kind of just narrow in on Pat Mahomes and what is Pat Mahomes doing versus we need to get Travis Kelce too. So it kind of just limited that Chiefs offense and it really helped the Lions defense of just like we need to focus on Pat Mahomes and kind of let our corner trust our corners enough to be like they can match up with their receiving core. So and then I kind of want to get into a couple of situational things here. Even though it paid out for them in the end there, that fourth down late in before the whole 4th and 25 sequence, 4th and 20 sequence, when Pat Mahomes did the twirls and threw it up and Scudamore dropped it, like the drive before then, the fourth down conversion failure. I thought that was one of the worst play calls. Goff probably needs to switch at the line. Like they had two linebackers matched up with their guards, and they had two safeties coming in the box too. On top of that, so you had a 6-man box with two linebackers, two safeties, and you had two ends, and that was it. And you needed 2 yards with David Montgomery, who by Pro Football Focus and a lot of metrics is one of the best at forcing missed tackles in the NFL. That to me, that they need to switch that up and they need to run it with David Montgomery and have him pick up that first down, because he would have definitely picked that first down up there, and they wouldn't have to go through the whole, is Pat Mahomes going to score from the 45-yard line? And one of the very few times he hasn't scored in one of those situations, they got kind of lucky there. And then on top of that, obviously the Jawan Taylor situation with the Terry McLaurie coming up and on Sunday Night Football and talking about how they were basically just allowing him to not follow the procedures and the formation procedures of the NFL rule book. And it's kind of annoying, because if you think about it, Aiden Hutchinson probably could have had five, four sacks. He probably could have had a legendary type of game. But it's like, you could go into conspiracies like they allowed it because they didn't want Pat Mahomes to get injured, and whatnot, because they knew Aiden Hutchinson would probably dominate him or was dominating him, so they allowed him to kind of get away with that stuff. But I thought it was very interesting that they kind of called it there at the end of the game, that false start. They finally called it, and it forced a 4th and 25. But it's just like, I don't know. It was just very, I guess it's my ref, me picking on the refs for the week. It was bad. It was bad. It was pretty blatant. It was pretty obvious that was terrible. That was terrible. And then I know I will give credit here. Warren Sharp on Twitter pointed out that John Hussey, the head official of that game, had only called two illegal formations in the past 2 years, one in each year, one in 2021, one in 2022. And so if that was the Chiefs' game plan to go in and be like, he doesn't call this penalty, so go line up off the line of scrimmage and get a head start because they're not going to call it. That's smart on Andy Reid's playbook, and John Hussey needs to, and his crew need to do better at actually following the rule book and all that. So that's kind of my 2 cents on that. But yeah, great win for the Lions. I'm 1-0 in my predictions this year, and that is I guess, a great segue into the week one predictions. So let me pull these up real quick. Make a drink here too as well. So the first game we'll get into is the Panthers at the Falcons. You have the debut of Bryce Young and Bijan Robinson. And for me, I got Atlanta 23-20. And I'm excited for this matchup. I think, you have Desmond Ridder, who I'm, really excited to see how he does. And I think Arthur Smith finally has the offense that he wants in Atlanta, and he can finally utilize his playbook and open up his playbook a little bit. So I'm very excited to see what Atlanta does offensively. And also, you have number one pick, Bryce Young. He was probably our like he was my favorite quarterback that I watched through the draft process. And I started like actually watching players in 2019. So since then, he's been my favorite quarterback that I've watched through the draft process. And he's good. He's really good. I like him. I like what they've built around him in Carolina for his first season. Added some veteran receivers that can, help him along the way. On top of that, with Andy Dalton and all that, and their defense is really solid. But for me, I just think Atlanta is just a little bit better team. I think they have kind of gelled a little bit. Like, Bryce Young's going into Frank Reich's offense. That's going to take a little bit to kind of get used to, kind of gel a little bit. And he's a rookie. When's the last time you've seen like a rookie just kind of dominate in their first start? Like, Baker Mayfield played pretty solid when he came in for the Browns against the Jets in that Thursday Night Football game. It wasn't a start, but he came in. It was his first time appearing. And he played very well. It wasn't like a dominant thing, but he played well. I think Bryce Young's going to play well in this game, but I just think Atlanta and them and their system and players being more comfortable in that system is going to help them pro or propel them to a win early in the year versus Carolina. You have a lot of new pieces on the offensive end and a new playbook for a lot of new play or a lot of those players. So kind of trying to get them to gel together. I can see that kind of being an issue week one for them. And I like Atlanta here 23-20. 220. So we'll move on here to the next game, and I want to keep this one a little bit short and sweet. It's Houston at Baltimore, and I have Baltimore winning 31-13. And this is just a hard game for C.J. Stroud to make his debut in, or his actual NFL debut, not his preseason debut. But for me, this is just this is a very tough team to go against. And I think Lamar's going to be hungry. I think the Ravens are going to be hungry. I think it's going to be very similar to what they did against the Dolphins in the 2019 week one, where Lamar kind of set the tone like, I'm going to be MVP this year. And I think we're going to get a big performance from Lamar and from the Ravens in this game, because although I do really like D'Amico Ryans, I just think there's a plane going over, kind of like messed up my train of thought there. These planes fly really low over by my house. I don't know why, but so D'Amico Ryans, I think he's going to be a really good head coach. And I hope the Texans don't do what they've done to Dave Coley and Lovie Smith. They need to keep D'Amico Ryans, allow him to build his team, build his system, build his culture. But we'll see what happens there. But I like D'Amico Ryans, but I just think this is a bad matchup for them. And where that roster at is in Houston, I think Baltimore is by far one of the better teams in the league. So I got Baltimore winning 31-13. And so let's go to the Bengals at the Browns. And for me, I got Cincinnati winning 27-21. And if you looked at my YouTube channel and you went through the full season predictions on that and kind of looked at what the Bengals, or what I have with the Bengals and Browns game, I had the Browns winning. But Joe Burrow's ready to play, and I think that's going to be enough to win this game. It's going to be a tough game. This one was a tough game for me to pick here, because although I do like the Browns, I think they're going to have a very solid year. I think they're going to be fighting for one of those wild card spots. I just don't think they're on the same level as Cincinnati. But, you know, this is me. Cincinnati has started off slow in the past. And in the past, I mean last year when Joe Burrow had his appendix surgery, and he came back with, you know, very little practice, very little time to get in rhythm throughout training camp, and same thing again this year on top of that. Very little time to kind of get back into rhythm and kind of get back in the swing of things through training camp. So, you know, we could see him have another off day on opening day. But going to Cleveland, I think if they just get 75 to 80% of Deshaun Watson throughout the year, I think they'll be fine. And I think they'll be a borderline playoff team or a playoff team. But one matchup I do want to see is Myles Garrett versus Orlando Brown Jr. at his new home. Like, we're going to be able to see that matchup twice, and that's going to be a fun matchup to watch. I'm a big O-line guy. I'm a big defensive line guy. I played defensive line in high school. I played offensive line in high school as well, but I really like seeing like elite matchups in the trenches, and I think that's going to be a fun one to watch play out throughout the game. But I do like Cincinnati. I'm not going to say I think Cleveland. There's a possibility Cleveland can upset, but I like Cincinnati here in Week One with a healthy Joe Burrow. So we'll move on here to Jacksonville. Or for the Cincinnati Browns game, 27-21 is what the score is. So Jacksonville at Indianapolis, and I got Jacksonville winning 28-19. For me, it's just I think Anthony Richardson's going to show some flashes and all of that, but he's still young. He's still very raw. He's going to make mistakes. He might turn it over a couple of times, you know, and that's okay. He's learning. He's young, and that is completely fine. And I just think Jacksonville's just a better team at the moment. You know, they have a very solid defense. Their offense should take a gigantic leap this year and should be very fun to watch on top of that. So I just think they're a little bit better, and I think the matchup to watch is definitely that receiving core with Calvin Ridley in there versus the Colts secondary, who lost Stephon Gilmore and all that and all those pieces. But you have Gus Bradley back there, who's a great defensive coordinator for Indianapolis, so he could definitely hold Jacksonville to a little bit or to a minimum. But I think Jacksonville is going to score a couple of touchdowns, maybe a couple of turnovers, put them in good field position, but I have Jacksonville winning 28-19. So we'll move on here to Tampa at Minnesota. And I got Tampa Bay winning 17-13. I think it's going to be a very low scoring game. I think Baker might struggle a little bit. He tends to have very bad first halves and then comes in the second half and kind of balls out a little bit. So I can see this game kind of being like a 7-10, Minnesota leading going into half, and then Baker just gets two drives, goes up by a score or two, and kind of, is able to lead his team to a, solid, hard-fought victory. But for me, why the score and why I think our Minnesota, why I think Tampa Bay is going to win is Todd Bowles and that defense. I love their defense, and I think their defense is going to be able to maintain that Viking offense. And Justin Jefferson, obviously a great player, offensive player of the year last year, but he didn't do well in double teams. And I think it a extra year for these teams. Yeah, Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive coaches in the league. They're going to game plan for him. They've been planning for him since the schedule release. And I think there's a possibility he could get shut down. There's also a possibility he could break out and have a great game on top of that. But Kirk Cousins, we'll see how he does. I love Kirk Cousins. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. One of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. Usually his decision making is what gets him in trouble, but he's just a very accurate quarterback. But I like Tampa Bay, a little defensive struggle. Minnesota has a lot of new pieces in there. They got rid of a lot of their old veterans, so they got younger. And I'm just going to take a more veteran group in Tampa Bay over a younger Viking squad. So I got Tampa Bay 17-13. So we're now at Tennessee at New Orleans, and I got New Orleans winning 31-21. And I can't wait to see this New Orleans offense. You have a very solid offensive line. You have Derek Carr in there, who put up a lot of points with the Raiders throughout his career. You have Chris Olave. You got Rashid Shaheed, who I think is going to be a breakout player this year and be one of the better deep threats in the NFL. And then you have Michael Thomas, who is healthy. So I think this Saints team is going to be very fun to watch on the offensive side. And people forget how good this defense is. People forget that this defense is a borderline top 10, top 7 defense in the NFL. Especially on given days, they can be a top 5 defense in the NFL. But it's always about consistency with New Orleans. But for them to go up against Tennessee and all that, I think Mike Vrabel's going to coach his butt off like he does every single game. It's crazy. Like we talk about players keeping their teams in games. Mike Vrabel is a coach that literally keeps his teams in games and is able to game plan his team to wins on as much of a consistent basis as I have ever seen. Like there's sometimes Bill Belichick has had like bad game plans, but his team is just better. They come out with a win, or an ugly win on top of that. Mike Vrabel, his team, he knows his team's going to win ugly, and he has to game plan for that. But Tannehill, I think, might throw a late interception or something like that, and it's going to lead to a Saints win. So I have the Saints winning 31-21. So we'll move on here to one of my favorite games of the week here. It is San Francisco at Pittsburgh, and I got the upset. I think this is going to be one of the bigger upsets this week. I got Pittsburgh winning 27-23. And I love Pittsburgh's defense. I just think they are going to be able to kind of slow down the San Francisco offense. I do think there is something to watch out for, which is Pittsburgh has struggled against really good offensive lines in the run game. And I think we could see Christian McCaffrey have a huge game. In this, there's a possibility for that. Is that going to lead to a victory? I don't know. But it could definitely open up stuff for Brock Purdy in that passing game and all of that. So I think Pittsburgh, they really just need to contain Christian McCaffrey. They contain Christian McCaffrey, and force Brock Purdy to beat you, I think that's a recipe for success. And on top of that, Pittsburgh's offense, I think they have a huge advantage with their wide receiver matchup versus San Francisco's defensive backs. And I just think they're going to be able to dominate that and kind of control the flow of the game through Kenny Pickett, through that passing game. And I really love the Steelers this year. I didn't spoiler alert, I didn't have them, making the playoffs in my full season. They were right there, but I won't say too much more on it, but if you want to go watch the video on YouTube, it's Spark Talk on YouTube. But I really like this Pittsburgh team. I like Kenny Pickett a lot, and I think they're gonna have a really good year. They could have a really special year. They have a lot of young talent, great talent. They have all pro talent on offense and defense. They just need to kind of grow, mature, and I want to see where this team's at, but I think they could easily put up an upset against San Francisco week one. So I got Pittsburgh winning 27-23. So let's go to Arizona at Washington. And this one I want to do very quick. Arizona's one of the worst rosters I've seen in a very, 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 very long time. And that includes the Browns roster. The Browns roster and their 0-16 might be worse, but this Arizona roster is up there with them. And they do have their standout players poked in there with Buda Baker and all that. They Rondale Moore, someone who I played against in high school. I still think he has a lot of potential, and hopefully he can just be healthy and go to a better team, go to a better situation and all that. But I watched him winning 35-10 here. I think it's going to be a blowout. Sam Howell looks really good. He looks like a fun quarterback to watch, and I think it's going to be a fun game for Washington fans in week one. So let me see here real quick. Does that wrap up? That wraps up the 1 o'clock slate here. So now we're getting to that 4 o'clock slate here, and we're going to start off with the supposed game of the week. For me, I don't know if I want this to be game of the week, but it is game of the week according to the NFL. So it is Green Bay at Chicago, and I'm very excited this year. I'm a huge Chicago Bears fan, so I'm very excited this year for my Bears. So I'm going to give the edge to Chicago, 27-24. I think it's going to be an ugly game on both sides. That is going to be my prediction for this. The Bears never do anything easily. They always try to take the hard way. And I think they have a better roster than Green Bay. I think Green Bay has a very good roster. I think Green Bay has a borderline playoff roster. I just don't know what to think of Jordan Love. I have to see him in real games and real action and see how he does on a full game basis, because the only time we've really seen him on a full game basis was against the Chiefs, and he put up 6 points on the Chiefs defense. And yes, the Chiefs defense is middle of the pack. They're solid. They can be very bad sometimes. They can be very good sometimes. But Jordan Love putting up 6 points against that defense, I don't know what to think about him. And then he goes out and, he has a couple plays here and there against the Eagles last year, but a lot of them were really dump it off to Christian Watson on a drag route or play action, get him open over the middle on an end route, let him just run, use his speed, use his athleticism. So I'm very interested to see how Matt LaFleur draws up Jordan Love to be successful in this game and throughout the season, and allow him to kind of grow into that role if he is the guy. But for Chicago, I just think the offense is very powerful, and we've seen last year that they were able to put up points on anybody. They put up points on the Eagles. They put up points on the Bills. They can put up points on about anybody, and I think they'll do that, and they'll be able to kind of to control the flow of the game, kind of control the pace of the game. Their defense, I'm a little bit concerned, but I love Matt Eberflus. I think he's a phenomenal defensive coach, and he's going to have those guys ready to play and in the right positions. Are they going to make big game-changing plays? To me, I don't think so, but I think they're going to do just enough, maybe some bending but not breaking, and maybe forcing some field goals here and there and helping the Bears get to a win week one. So I have the Bears winning 27-24. So now we got the Las Vegas Raiders at the Denver Broncos. So I had to get a, sorry, I've got a drink there. I'm trying to get used to talk on the podcast a little bit more so I don't have to take drinks every what 5 minutes, 10 minutes or something like that. So the Raiders at Denver. I got Denver winning this game 20-14. And Denver is just very good in September in Denver. You know, it's just one of those things. Sean Payton, his first game there. And the comments he made about Russell Wilson this week, I thought were pretty funny. It's true. It really is. Like Russell Wilson is, it feels like sometimes he's literally auditioning to be a politician. You know, it's a lot of the stuff just feels fake. It feels unauthentic. And yeah, and I love Sean Payton's reaction to it. And if Sean Payton, you can say what you want about him. He's gonna be as real as he's as real as it gets. He really is. He's as real as it gets when it comes to an NFL coach and NFL players. He's going to say what's on his mind. He doesn't really care. And you know, I love what it is, but also I think this might be an ego trip for Sean Payton as well. I don't think Denver's going to do spectacular this year. I think they'll do better than last year, but and on top of that, the Raiders, I don't know what to think of them. They have Jimmy G starting. I think they're going to be fine. They still have weapons on the offensive end. Their defense is getting better and better each year after being historically bad for a good number of years. Excuse me there. So like I think like it's I don't know, it's just one of those things where Denver's very good in September. The Raiders, I don't really know what to think of them. And they have Jimmy G. Jimmy G can cause some issues from time to time. So I got Denver winning 20-14 in a very ugly game, and it probably be end up be even low or more low scoring than that by the time the game's done. So let's go over here to Miami and the Chargers. Probably a lot of people's game of the week's favorite game to watch this week. It's going to be for me. I got Miami, or I say I got Miami. My bad. I was about to say Miami at the Chargers again, but I got the Chargers winning 38-35. For me, I just think the Chargers are a little bit better all-around team, and we say this all the time with the Chargers. Like their best players against the other team's best players, they would probably win like maybe 8 times out of 10, 7 times out of 10 across the league. But they tend to make mistakes and do all of that. And I just think it kind of hurts not having Jalen Ramsey for the Dolphins. We see real quick who else is out for him. Armstead's questionable. Jeff Wilson's out. Ramsey is on IR. So yeah, they're struggling with a little bit of injuries. I think their offensive end is going to be fine. Probably Armstead's going to play. So I think that's probably going to be fine, but I think their offense is going to be fine. So that's why I think they're going to be able to put up a lot of points against the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to be able to respond with a lot of points. I think it's going to come down to who has the ball last and who's able to make the most plays in crunch time. And I just think the Chargers have a little bit more playmakers on the defensive end to make those plays. So therefore, I got the Chargers winning a fun, exciting 38-35 opening day game. So let's move on here to Philadelphia at New England. And I got an upset here. This is probably a lot of people think Philadelphia is going to go 17-0, or they're going to go 16-1, 15-2, or whatever. I think they're gonna have a step back this year. Like people, I don't think people really realize how bad a Super Bowl hangover can be for teams, even great teams. Like I think they're going to have a better Super Bowl hangover than teams in years past, but I just don't. I think they might get off to a slow start here. I got New England. I don't know what Bill Belichick's doing. Like he cut Bailey Zappe and Malik Cunningham, and then signed them to the practice. I don't know what's going on with New England right now, but I think he's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat. I think he'll get a win in Foxborough. Last second field goal. Great defense throughout for both teams. And I just think it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a close game. And for me, I like those type of games where it's just masterful defense and matchups and all of that. But I think Philadelphia is, they just struggle. Not struggle, but they have a lot of young players, and I'm afraid they might struggle a little bit early on in the year because they kind of replaced a lot of their veterans with a lot of young talent that they drafted. And so you're trying to see if that young talent is mature enough to compete at a high level at this moment, or are they going to have to do some growing throughout the season? And Bill Belichick knows how to scheme against those type of guys. So I trust Bill Belichick for this week one. If this is in week seven or even week four, week three even, I have Philadelphia winning this game. But just it being week one, I think the Patriots could definitely pull out a win here. So I got New England 24 to 21. So we'll move on here to the Rams at the Seahawks. And I got the Rams winning 21 to 17. And I know Cooper Kupp isn't playing, but I think we're going to see a star emerge in Puka Nacua, BYU wide receiver, who is he was one of my favorite wide receivers to watch. He was just a very slick route runner. He's very smart, intelligent, great hands, great body control. Just go look up highlights on him on YouTube. He's absolutely insane. And I think we'll see a star emerge. On top of that, I think their defense is going to be very stout. I think their defense is going to be able to hold Geno Smith and that offense to, a couple of touchdowns. And I think their Rams offense is going to be kind of maybe lackluster in the first half, and I think start to pick it up come the second half. But this game is going to be a fun one. It's going to be a close one. And for me, I'm just not too sold on Geno Smith. I kind of touched on it a little bit in my full season predictions, but it's just one of those things that, he still struggles going through his progressions on a consistent basis. And when he faces great coaches and great coaches that have that are great at game planning against quarterbacks that struggle with that, I think he's going to struggle in this game. And I think the Rams are going to be able to pull a last second touchdown or a touchdown or 2 minutes and win the game through that. So I like the Rams winning a very close game here, but I can see Seattle kind of pulling out the game as well. So let's go on to the Sunday night football game. We had Dallas at the Giants or at MetLife Stadium at New York or New Jersey, actually. Yes, it's in New Jersey, but I guess quote unquote New York. But I got the Giants winning 27 to 20. I think it's gonna be a very fun game. And I think what was it on I think it was Sunday Night Football today. I don't know if it was at halftime or Chris Collinsworth said it, but 10 straight wins for Dak Prescott against the Giants. I think they're going to be hungry. I think Daboll has been planning ever since that schedule released, and I think he's just hungry to get a win against Dallas. And I think they'll get a win. I like where the Giants are at. I love Daboll, even though I was not the biggest fan of the hiring. It's just he's one of those guys that changed my mind. Mike Vrabel, one of the guys that changed my mind when it comes to being head coaches. I just didn't think they were very prepared to be head coaches, but sometimes it just shows. So we'll see how he does throughout this season and see how they improve. If Daniel Jones is improving, and I'm expecting him to improve this year with Daboll, and that's why I have them winning this game. I think it's gonna be a fun game. It's gonna be a typical early season NFC East game where it's going to be close throughout, and I think it's going to come down to the wire, and maybe one of the teams pulls away at the end, but it's going to be a close game. But I think I have the Giants pulling it out here, 27 to 20. So we're going to the Monday Night Football, the last game of the week. We have Buffalo at the Jets in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. So I got the Jets winning 31 to 27. And 31 to 27. I think the Jets are just a better team. The Bills really struggled against the Jets last year, even though I think they came out with two, or they swept them last year, or they may have split between them. But Aaron Rodgers, this may be the Hard Knocks. I just finished up watching the Hard Knocks with them, and maybe it's just me getting hyped up watching their Hard Knocks or whatever, but I been really enjoying watching that, and I honestly really think they're going to have a great year this year. Are they going to win Super Bowl? Time will tell. I think they're a contender. I think they're a legit contender. I think Aaron Rodgers has arguably his best receiving core that he's had in his career. And I think it's going to be a fun one to watch. It's Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers. It's the Jets versus the Bills. It's a new rivalry. It's a rivalry from the 70s and 60s that, really hasn't flourished in what, like 20, 30 years, maybe even more than that. And we kind of get to see it kind of build up and rebuild and kind of have that nuance to it as well. So it's going to be a fun game and it's going to be a fun week. I have the Jets winning 31 to 27. So, yeah, I appreciate y'all for, listening and keeping up and all that. I really appreciate it. Make sure to, like, share, comment, let me know what your predictions are and let me know, if you think my predictions are crap or whatever and all that. And also let me know how I can, make it more enjoyable and make it a better, listening experience, for y'all. And all that. I'm always open to suggestions on how to get that better. But yeah, I appreciate y'all. And yeah, hopefully I do well. I'm 1-0 right now. Hopefully I can go 16-0 this week. But I'm hoping for just over 500 this week, and I'll be happy with that. So yeah, I will have a what recap on Monday, and then I will recap the Monday night game on Tuesday. So you'll have two more podcasts for week one coverage, and then Thursday morning is when you will get the Thursday preview or Thursday night preview for week two. So just kind of give you a little heads up there. So thank you all for listening, and I will see y'all in the next episode.